Hi, guys. It's Al. How you doing? I got a little Bonzo's mantra behind me. One of the underplayed Led Zeppelin songs because it doesn't feature Robert Plant. Anyway, this weekend I went to the 9/11 Truth Conference, the 9/11 and Neocon Agenda, put on by Alex Jones and Infowars.com, and it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of nice people and had a good time. So I thought I would play some of my audio that I collected, and please be forgiving with me because I had massive technical issues. The first day was a total wash. My battery wouldn't take a charge, and I didn't know how to get it to work right. So it was funny. So then the following day, I actually went and got some. I interviewed some folks, and what you'll hear in the next few minutes is what I got. So I'm going to play some of some interviews, a little bit of the panel that C-SPAN covered. And also sharing some of my reflections of it. Like, for example, since we're talking about it, one of the highlights, there was many highlights, but it was really awesome to see the preview and the clips that they showed of the movie A Scanner Darkly, based on the Philip K. Dick movie. And the guys who did Waking Life did this movie in the same style. And if you liked Waking Life, like visually, you're going to love this movie because it's a lot of the same style where they paint each frame. And it's got Keanu Reeves in it and Woody Harrelson and Winona Ryder and that guy Downey Jr., right? So anyway, it was really awesome. It looks like it's going to be an awesome flick. And so I'm stoked about that coming out this summer. It was also just real nice to meet people and talk to like-minded folks about this, about where we're at globally, and how to get to a more sane and not suicidal track. So, that being said, I thought I'll just play some of the stuff that I've got. And let me see, where is that stuff? So yeah, let's see what else. Oh, yeah. You know, also, one of the big highlights for me, I didn't get any audio of it, but I'm sure it's out there, was the testimony of William Rodriguez. You know, I read some stuff about him, but never really heard his direct, like, statement about what happened to him on that day. And he was one of the people that was in the buildings when, well, he was a witness to the first bomb in the basement going off. And then got out and then saw that there was, you know, this plane up there that went into the building and went in to save his friends at the top of the towers. And he was going up and down those stairs all day at his day job, which is being the main head janitor of those two buildings. And he saved a lot of people. And then he got, I think, up to the 37th floor and then had to turn back around. Anyway, his testimony was just really incredible, and really I recommend everyone just do a Google search and check out William Rodriguez's testimony. It's real powerful, and the guy's, you know, I don't really use the word too much because it's kind of overused, a cliche, but he really is a hero, you know. It's pretty heroic stuff that he could have stayed out. He was safe and out and non-injured, and he went back in and risked his, and stuff that the security guards and stuff wouldn't do. And so anyway, without further ado, I think I will go ahead and play this audio that I've got. Let me see what happened to it. I was just looking at it. And, yeah. Here we go, I think. Where'd it go? There it is. Okay. So yeah, this is starting off with some interviews I conducted from on the early morning, the morning part of the second day. Hi, what's your name?
Matthew Horton Woodson.
What brings you here today?
Well, I'm running for United States Congress in the 5th District of Oklahoma, and I'm just trying to meet some like-minded folks, get the word out that there's people that are trying to take this energy and focus it on a change in Congress, because there's a lot of people that are really interested in making a change in Congress. Well, I'm stepping up to the plate and saying, well, if you send me there, I'm in the heart of the homeland right in Oklahoma City, in the base of this administration, and I think that if I can awaken some people there, I can do a lot. I have a website that I've been documenting my efforts, and it's an unabashed request for money at www.sendmeabuck.com. So I think that with small contributions from a lot of people, I can buy some media there, and it's going to really make a big difference in this whole movement.
Okay, beyond 9/11 truth, what other parts of your platform is there?
One of the biggest issues that I'm looking at is the farm bill that's coming up in 2007, where a whole lot of subsidies are going to create a obese and nutritionally deficient society, and I think that we need to take a hard look at that and change some of those things so we have a much healthier country.
And like genetically modified foods?
Oh, absolutely. I think, the GMOs, I think that any seed that has a patent on it, we needs to really have some regulation about it. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of dangerous realms that we're going into with the foods that we're putting into ourselves.
Finally, one question. One of the issues that I find really important is monetary reform. Where do you stand on that?
I think that right now we have very, very small group of people that are really controlling a lot of money in this world, and what we can do in Congress, I would certainly take a look at it. So,
thanks a lot. All right.
Yeah. Dean Tucker from Beaumont, Texas. I'm just very excited about being here. I feel if anything, any issues on the planet, this is the number one thing to focus on to help bring transformation to the whole entire planet on a lot of issues.
By this, could you explain?
9/11, focusing on any of these issues, of anything that happened on 9/11, more specifically, the Building 7 is obvious, or what, or that thermite was being used. Well, that kind of makes you think again about how the building came down. And that can open up a can of worms that could create a transformation throughout the entire world. So just that one little thing to focus on.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to be here with such an extraordinary group of people that want to make a difference on this planet and that have the courage to do so.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank
All right.
you.
All right. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Brain Freak from San Diego, California here. And I'm basically here to see all these 1,200 people who have actually, you know, are willing to care about what's really going on in the world. And I'm kind of here. I'm an electronic engineer, and I'm a security expert in computer security. And so I'm hoping that people listening to this right now, if you're any kind of security expert, if you're any kind of hacker, any kind of thing out there, that you need to take control and quit looking at the computer and you know, you're protecting your rights. You think that just because you can get through everything and you can get into a computer because, you know, they take away your freedom, and you think that that doesn't affect you because you're able to get through these barriers, and it really doesn't matter, because you shouldn't have to be only a hacker to be able to surf the net, you know, without being censored. And you should be able to, you know, there's hacktivists out there, hacktivism, and people need to, you know, if you're doing your hacking or whatever, you need to have a message for that,
right,
and do it for a purpose.
Right.
And really, so I hope that everybody hearing this realizes that there's 1,200 people just here, and you know, 1,000 at least that didn't make it in because of lack of seats, and that there's plenty of people out there that believe this, and there's plenty of people out here that know the truth. And if you just research it yourself, you know, don't trust me, you don't trust anybody, just research it for yourself. You'll learn this stuff, and basically you can do the right thing using whatever talent you have. If you're a hacker, if you're an artist, you know, get the message out there through whatever means necessary.
Cool. Thanks. Well, we're going to talk later, because I'm in San Diego and I got some technological projects on these lines, so we'll talk. All right. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Tom Pinto. I'm a scholar for 9/11 Truth. I'm an information systems analyst. I currently work in the Humboldt County District's Attorney's Office, though I'm speaking today as a private citizen. What I've been doing my own research and listening to the research of Professor Stephen Jones, and I find it very compelling. As an avocation, I'm a ceramic artist, and what I've learned about ceramic arts and kilns and melting temperatures and whatnot fits, it dovetails with what Professor Jones is talking about thermite bringing down the buildings and being a controlled demolition. So I've been telling people up in Humboldt County about what's been going on, and there's a lot of cognitive dissonance in people. They don't really want to face the science. It's the same kind of thing that was going on in Galileo's time, you know, they don't want to face the science, but the science is very compelling, and I encourage people to do their own research, and especially to look at Loose Change Version 2. I think it's a good documentary that they can download from Google and view it online, and it really explains what's going on for the layperson.
Can you share any of your experiences of success or any experiences of friends or family that you've talked to that had that really strong cognitive dissonance and maybe rejected either you on a personal level or just on, like saying that you're crazy?
What I usually do is give them a DVD with Loose Change 2. I also, if they're interested, if they're science-minded, I give them a DVD with Professor Jones's two-hour lecture on it. I also usually include a postcard that shows the collapse of World Trade Center 7, which is a building, a 47-story building that collapsed in about, less than 7 seconds, has all the hallmarks of a controlled demolition. And most people forget there was even a third building that fell that day. So that's on a personal level, I do it in that way. I have spoke out in public in Eureka during the Peace March in March. It was the same weekend Charlie Sheen spoke out about what's going on, and I went out in public to a crowd of about 2,000 people and said, you know, this is an inside job, and look at what's going on. And it was interesting because one group of people would come up to me after I spoke, and they were like, oh, Tom, thanks for speaking out. We already knew this. And a second group would be where I would classify as, oh, you know, we kind of suspected something like this. You know, thanks for speaking out. And the third group were people that I know, and I could tell by reading their body language that they were very, very uncomfortable with what's going on. I also have experience on a personal level with cognitive dissonance. My ex-wife happens to be a Jehovah's Witness, and this is a high-control group, and they don't like to hear things that contradict their belief system. So it really is hard to overcome people's belief systems with science, and you have to do it subtly. You can't be in their face. All they're going to do is put on the blinders and push you back. And you have to be considerate of their feelings and do it in a calm, don't challenge people because that will not work. You have to do this in a nice manner.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I want to plug my website while I'm here. You might as well. So everybody out there listening to this, check out www.theblackpacket.com. And there's lots of information, mostly of how to keep yourself safe, survival techniques, methods of secure communication through encryption, different methods just basically to keep your privacy and exercise your rights, and how to actually take action, because too many people out there feel they're powerless, feel they can't do anything. And so I have, you know, sections there of how to help and different flyers you could print, different addresses of important people to contact, and just different ways you can just, you know, get the word out there. Yeah, be active and don't feel powerless. And a lot of people out there feel they want to help and they have ideas, but then they reach a blocking point. They don't have an address. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know how to form a nice letter to write, you know. And so I want everything there to have, you know, letters pre-written for people, email addresses that they can contact, you know, everything just to help people do what they want to do already and make it easier for them. So visit, yeah, theblackpacket.com.
Blackpacket.com?
Yeah, that's right. All right, thanks.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Debbie.
Okay, and what brings you to the conference today?
Well, I've been following this stuff for a long time, and I knew something was wrong the day of 9/11. In fact, I knew things were strange before that, but the day of 9/11, I happened to be off work on a work injury, and I am a flight attendant with a major airline. And the morning of 9/11, I got a phone call from my sister, and she said, oh, you must turn on the TV because America's under attack. And I went out there, turned on the TV just in time to see the second plane hit the tower. And when it hit the tower, I went, oh, my God, there's no way. This has got to be a movie, you know, because it was so unbelievable. And then a little while later when the tower fell, that particular tower fell, I knew right then. I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. They're going to tell us that an airplane did that? I mean, I just knew that there was no way an airplane could have brought those buildings down. I'd known it, and I almost got sick to my stomach because it was just in that moment I knew that my life had changed forever in my industry, and I didn't know what the implications were at that time. But ever since then, I've just been like a real truth seeker. And I love Alex Jones. He's like my hero. I listen to him on the GCN Live Network, and I've got him, Jack Blood, also Dave and Joyce on the Power Hour. I love them all, Jeff Rentz, and these people are really out there putting it all out on the line for all of us. And I'm just glad there's people like that who are out there to tell the truth.
What do you do to promote the truth?
I make copies of Loose Change. I find that Loose Change 2 is probably the best tool that I've found, because you can hand it to somebody. And I've yet to have anybody come back to me and say, oh, this is BS. Because if they weren't convinced before, they're convinced after they see this show. And I actually gave it to one of our pilots who is ex-military. And he was in the first Gulf War, and he was privy to a lot of things on a very high level because he's a retired colonel. And he read it. I mean, he saw the movie, and he told me that he said, I was like 99.9% of Americans who bought the official story. He said, but I have to admit, I have questions.
We're trying to wait here before we start, so everybody gets
cool.
In or be a distraction while everybody's getting seated.
Yeah, we'll just wait a second. Because
I'm a little bit quicker. Is everybody trying to...
All right.
Try to get to your seats if you can. Thank you.
That's so what I got. Before 9/11, how did you identify yourself politically, or were you aware of anything? Or I'm kind of curious, like the change that happened in your psyche, like from before that 9/11, and like Oklahoma City happened. Did you have any clues about anything like that, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, when Oklahoma City happened, for instance, I was living in Texas in Dallas, and I at that time I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know it. Nothing made sense to me about that whole story. That just didn't make sense at all. That really affected me deeply, because I had just flown in the day before from Europe, and we had to divert to Oklahoma City the day before. And it's hard to explain, but I've always been really intuitive. But there was a funny feeling I had when we landed there, which was really odd that we would land there. And then the next day that this happened. But I think the day that they had the Columbine shooting, I happened to be in Colorado that morning. I flew in that morning, and it was all over the news when I got to the hotel, because it was a long layover. We got in early from Miami. And I saw this whole thing unfolding there, and it's just weird how I've been around, like, when these things are happening, and I get really oddball feelings about them. So I don't know what that means, but to me, it's always told me that something really strange is going on.
What do you think the prognosis is for the world and maybe our nation? And, how do you think the future's going to play out?
Well, you know, I am concerned about that, because I have two kids that are in their 20s. Fortunately, my daughter is a Canadian citizen also. She's already got Plan B. If she happens to get drafted, she won't be hanging around here for long. But I think about that, because, you know, and I think about my grandkids, because I do have some grandkids, and I do think about them. And the only way that any of this stuff is going to change is if the people take the initiative and they demand. We need to go down there. We need to march in millions on Washington. We need to go down there, and we need to, like, yank these bastards out of the White House and get rid of them. I mean, that's the only way it's going to change. It's not going to change by electing people. We all know that the voting is rigged. We all know that. You know, that's one reason I don't vote, because I haven't voted for a long time, because I've known that the whole thing is corrupt. And I wish I could. I mean, I've actually thought about, well, maybe I should go ahead and, you know, maybe if there's a candidate that I believe in, yeah, I'll go and register to vote. But I haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, I call voting my naive waste of time.
Yeah, it's just like Jack Blood says, you know, we all pay our government hush money, you know, our taxes every month. That's our protection money. You know, it's disgusting. You know, but we all have to do something about it. And I'm very vocal. And I work with a lot of people. I work with thousands of people every week. I talk to hundreds of people every week on my flights. I'm able to, you know, connection with a lot of people. So I try.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. So right now I'm going to play some of this panel, or the beginning of the panel. Oh, this is Alex Jones.
Supposed hijackers working with the U.S. government in all living bases. We have the Pensacola News Journal, MSNBC, reported that at least three of them were training a secret program at the Pensacola Naval Air Station. That's admitted, hidden in plain view. Then the dean of the Defense Language School, the head of the school, was in the major California papers, even in the Associated Press, that's first published in the San Jose Mercury News. He went public with the headline that the government was behind the attacks. And I even called and talked to him, but he wouldn't go on the radio show. They were talking about court-martialing, but they dropped that. Why did he say this? Well, buried in the article it was that three of the hijackers were trained in high-level spy training at the Defense Language School here in California. Then we have FBI informants living with some of the hijackers, living next door to them, giving them money. And then when other FBI agents in Miami, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in Phoenix, picked up all this chatter that they had these patsies out creating this history so they could then use them later, they were told, back off, shut up, you're off the case. That's on record, too. There's hundreds of these points that are all on record. And remember, the government tells us, elements of the government tell us, that the terrorists attack us because they hate our freedom. Well, then why is the government taking all of our freedom? To make the terrorists happy? These globalists, they love to have little word games, little tricks, little things hidden in plain view. You see, it's true. The terrorists really did attack us to take our freedom and to seize the United States as an engine of global government. One of the main reasons we're having this event, I'm sure I said it earlier, so I'll say it now, is to stop a new 9/11. Every time there's a new terrorist attack, every time there's some new event, the approval ratings for this police state go up, and then they drop down again. And on every front, the neocons and their handlers and the other networks that are out there that work with them are in trouble. The jig is up, people are waking up, and it's very, very exciting. Let's go ahead and start with Dr. Bob Bowman. Bob, why don't you just start this off, and let's just go back and forth here and have a discussion about strategies, where we go from here, how we expose this.
We are exposing it. The old story, you know, the problem with this country is ignorance and apathy. And one guy turns to the other and says, do you believe that? And the other guy says, I don't know and I don't care. How do we end the ignorance and apathy? Well, I'll tell a story tonight in my speech about a couple of people I met on the flight out here and how I turned them around. And the answer to how we get rid of this ignorance and apathy is one person at a time. But we have to speak up. We have to raise our voices. We have to speak truth to power. We can't just sit back and let somebody else do it. We can't just sit back and say, well, Alex is doing it on his radio show. I don't have to do anything. Because a lot of times it's us who are listening to Alex. We need to go out to those people who haven't heard him, and we need to tell them the truth. We need to convince them that they don't really know the truth and that they should. We need to stir the pot. We need to create a dissonance in their belief system so that finally it will waken them up. And we can do it, and we will do it,
And we, for goodness sakes, are for sure going to do it when I get there in Congress and really raise some hell with me. Being here at the hotel, I've talked to wait staff, people in the bar, I've talked to people who work at the hotel. I'd say about 30% of those, just here at this hotel, we randomly picked it out of Austin, Texas, are already aware of my work, your work, of what's happening. And then others that I've talked to don't attack me, they go, yeah, I've always had a suspicion. And that's a microcosm of the polls, the Zogby polls, the CNN polls, of 90% believe there's a cover-up, 83% under CNN poll. Everywhere I go, talk radio interviews I do, and even shows that are adversarial are coming after me. The host is attacking me, but almost every caller calls in agreeing that at least there's a cover-up. Something's wrong. They've seen all these lies. And I would say the majority of those believe it's an inside job. Do you think that you'll speak to that? And then also I'd like to get your take on how this is affecting the establishment. You study these rogue networks, the shadow government. I've seen a lot of their confidence in the last year or so evaporate. They're not as arrogant now. Can you speak to that?
Alex, I think the dams are breaking. As Charlie Sheen said, the worm is turning. The myth is collapsing. The shock effect is wearing off. The human reason is reasserting itself. We see a lot of fake terrorist events now orchestrated with very little basis. You see London, 250 people in a SWAT team shoot a guy. They can't find the cyanide and the sarin gas they came to get. Toronto, 17 patsies arrested. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police had delivered fertilizer to their house and said that was a bomb.
Same thing in Florida.
If Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, with the Yukon King, the Wonder Dog, comes and delivers 10 tons of fertilizer to your house and says you want a lifetime supply, don't sign for it. You can take it into custody. And then we just had, a really pathetic group of patsies rounded up in Florida, the Haiti group. I think all of that is that the myth is collapsing. Now, what do we need? This movement of ours, I think, is in the process of going from maybe 5,000 full-time activists towards, I hope, something more like about 5 million. In the process, the main barrier are the left gatekeepers. Noam Chomsky, Amy Goodman, Air America, most of them, The Nation magazine, the left liberal intelligentsia, the biggest barrier. They have obsessively parroted the racist, warmongering official version. They've slandered people like us who try to fight against it. These people have got to be discredited. They've got to be gone around. I think we've...
Webster, in all fairness, I have seen them softening.
We need the impeachment of Bush Cheney, but the first item has got to be misprision of treason. In other words, 9/11 crimes have to be the first item. The other impeachment doesn't go anywhere.
All right.
The other question then is, if the ruling elite try to impose martial law and a wider war, calling off elections, let's do what the people did in Madrid, back in Spain, back in the spring of 2000. About a third to a half of the Spanish population went into the streets for an open-ended general strike. If they take their liberties and the Constitution,
I agree. We've got to be ready.
I can't.
Flag, look at the evidence immediately. If it shows that it's these crime networks doing it, exposing them. Professor Stephen Jones?
Yeah, I'm going to tell a little story. True story. So I called my car mechanic up. And, about my car, work for my car. And he says, I said, now, how's everything? And he said, he said, about this 9/11, I got out of the blue. And he said, the Pentagon released these tapes that supposedly show that the car again. So supposedly show airline 77, American 77, going into the Pentagon. So he said, so I looked at these tapes because, he read, said, I heard about what you're talking about. So I perked up my ears and I looked at those tapes and he said, I couldn't see any planes. I don't know what they're doing to us. But, and I said, yeah, well, how about my car? He says, but wait a minute, did you know that the FBI, right after this Pentagon crash, they went over and seized, within minutes, they seized from a gas station there, they seized the surveillance tape, and they went to a hotel and they seized the surveillance tapes. I said, yeah, I knew about that. It's kind of curious. He said, curious? It's bizarre. I want those tapes, And I said, well, I agree with you. I'd sure like to get this information, and not just those tapes, but all these photographs and videos that NIST has obtained. We'd like to get a hold of those. there's a petition that we have on our Scholars for 9/11 Truth site requesting, and it's probably not the right term, demanding release of information. I mean, why are we being, you talk about a cover-up, and people becoming aware that there has been a cover-up. I mean, I see this all around, people telling me, you know, I just want to find out what happened. Well, that's what we're about, and spreading the word, getting people aware, and I keep coming back to the Constitution because it does have remedies. It was designed with checks and balances to prevent one branch, like the executive or the judicial, from getting too much power. It was designed to contain just that problem. And I think it's high time we get back to the Constitution and exercise constitutional remedies.
Thank you, Professor. Let's get a comment from Professor Fetzer, but I would just add, I forgot. I get here, I see two LAPD cops. They don't both know who I am. They come with their fans. There's some off-duty police here. I talked to them. There's some even bodyguards here. I talked to them. Oh, yeah, we all know. Oh, yeah, we all know it's an inside job. Sure, we're not stupid, especially investigators. All these are like, you know, veteran detectives and people that I'm here talking to. They know. I mean, if you have basic, you know, rudimentary skills in investigation, you know the official story is a fraud. You know, that's it.
The mass media in the United States is controlled by five corporations with respect to about 90% of what we hear and read. Our last bastions of freedom of speech and inquiry are the internet, talk radio, and thank God for what remains of public television, C-SPAN, and radio. The nation's leading newspaper has disgraced itself by its utter failure to come to grips with the obvious and overwhelming evidence that what happened in its own city, a few blocks from its own headquarters, killing 3,000 of its own citizens, was a crime committed by the United States government.
Yeah.
If these people are too stupid or too ignorant to put together 2 + 2 and understand what that means, let them at least confront the fact that an egregious crime was committed by the Environmental Protection Agency as that vast cloud of toxic dust welled through the streets of Manhattan, bringing death and destruction to thousands on a delayed basis. I've had first responders call me. They could barely get a breath out, telling how their lungs were coated with this stuff. Microparticles of concrete, residue of thermite, heavy metals from computers that were absolutely decimated, the asbestos with which that building was laden. They are dying. Christy Whitman of the EPA assured them then that it was safe to breathe that dust. If the New York Times can confront no other aspect of this issue, by God, let them confront that one.
Just on the line briefly, because whenever you meet you on talk radio, maybe you personally for documentaries. But we've talked, Professor Jones, and it's in my new film that we're just about to release, Terror Story. You come right out that clearly from the evidence, the research you've done, it proves the official story is a fraud. Can you, four people here, restate your inside job statement? And then I'd like the take of the other panelists here on their view. I mean, they're ready to come out and say this is clearly an inside job. Professor Jones?
Sure. So the evidence that I started with, Alex, on that, the molten metal pools indicate, in this case, a large amount of incendiary explosive, until super thermite is explosive. Ordinary thermite, thermate are incendiaries. So there's an enormous quantity then, and you see the effects too of the explosives. You see these plumes of debris coming out. I hope people will look online, for instance, at WTC7.net, Scholars for 9/11 Truth. you can get your hands on these data quite easily now because of the internet still freely available, I'm pleased to say. The point is, planting these explosives in incendiaries requires a group of people, requires pre-planning. Then this implies an inside job. It doesn't have to be a large group of people. And indeed, I suspect it was a small group of people, perhaps about 19, who were actually in the know. you see what I'm saying? And then there were others below them who were basically, you put this material, we put it in the elevator shafts and so on. Give them instructions.
In fact, you've done a calculation on how many men it would take, how many trips to load the buildings with the explosives.
Yeah, let's see. So in my paper, see, I interviewed a demolition expert on this. How much explosive does it take to bring down a tower like this? And he said, well, he's done hundreds. Southwark Towers took 200 or 300 pounds of explosives. Well, that means if you scale that to the towers, you're talking about 1,000 pounds, roughly. In the towers case, it does look like they put more for redundancy, for example. For instance, you don't know where the plane's going to go in, but you want to start the explosions where the plane went in, so you have to have extra explosives at different levels. Are you following me here? Different levels. So then with the radio control, you say, and computerized, after about an hour, we're ready now. Computer controls will start near where the planes went in, and we'll just knock the material out of the way, so this will be a complete straight down collapse. And in fact, I asked him, well, that covers the number. There's a number of things I asked him. What happens, I asked him, if you do some explosions, you set your explosives, and some of them go off, but something happens, and it doesn't keep the sequence of explosions. What happens?
Many times in official controlled demolitions, it fails. It doesn't bring the building down. So normally do an even higher load to ensure that happens. Also, the Tower 1 and 2 were top-down demolitions from Randy Hubbins, from the scientists and demolition experts, and Kevin Ryan, and running laboratories with the public, and they did internal studies. It just was impossible with the efficient story. But 7 was the classic controlled demolition, with the central column being blown. We had the squib blast points on video, and the building falls in perfectly on its footprint. And I've talked to people that work as engineers at the highest levels of different controlled demolition companies, and they said it was one of the most beautiful jobs. Most controlled demolition companies, it's sad, it's true, most controlled demolition companies that do this cannot do it that good. This was what I've been told was the work of art in the industry.
Collapsing straight down onto its footprint. Folks, if you haven't seen the collapse of Building 7, you really need to look at it, how it comes straight down. I have my students time it. I have shown that. It's an example of free fall, as we talk about Newton's laws.
Newtonian physics, though.
You betcha. And we time it, click, and it comes down. You look at the corner. So things happen, but you start with the corner. When it starts to move and begins a steady descent, 6.5 seconds, plus or minus 0.2. And then you look at free fall. If you dropped an apple, Newton's apple, you see off the corner, it would take 6.0 seconds. So it's just a little. Then we look at other controlled demolitions. We know they're controlled demolitions. Same thing. It's just slightly behind free fall. Now, how can it fall so fast?
Well, we also know, with real-world laboratory events that we've used as experiments, no modern civil buildings ever collapsed from fire. We've had the Madrid fire almost 2 days, 100-foot white-hot flame shooting out, and the building was gutted, but even aluminum desks were sitting there and hadn't held it. And none of the major steel beams even got weakened. This happens over and over and over again. Magically, on 9/11, 3 separate buildings. Then FEMA has given 5 different reasons Building 7 fell. They have to always go back and say, okay, that wasn't true. Oh, a fuel oil tank blew up. They say, well, no, that's not it. Oh, the North Tower fell on it. Well, that didn't happen. The small fire didn't. Some of the dust and debris hit. A few windows got broken. So lie, 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 lie. They don't have a reason why. These talking heads get up on television, on Fox and CNN, and I've seen them going, well, we have FEMA saying a tank did it, and we have FEMA saying it fell because the North Tower fell on it. No, a building actually had a tower fall on it, and that was Bankers Trust, and it burned, but nothing collapsed, because that's never happened. It doesn't happen. It's science. Would you like to speak to that, Dr. Bowman?
Well, a lot of people have called me a conspiracy nut, including in my campaign. And so far they've been anonymous. But when my opponent joins them and says, you're a conspiracy nut because of your views on 9/11, I'm going to say, great, debate me on the issue. I am not into conspiracy theories, and I absolutely reject the most unbelievable conspiracy theory yet, which is the official one told us by our government.
I would also add to that that if you look at the career of Abraham Lincoln, he got vilified as Spotty Lincoln because of his spot resolutions. He challenged the Polk administration to say, you say that the Mexicans attacked first to start the Mexican War. I want to know the spot. I want to know where. He didn't accept it. The favorite smoking gun that I would point to is the angel is next question. In other words, a death threat to Bush that comes in to Air Force One, Angel, accompanied by a cascade of top-level, top-secret code words from across the agencies, Pentagon, CIA, NSA, and so forth, indicating, well, that this is the moment when the rogue network speaks, and they are presenting an ultimatum to Bush, which is, in effect, with all these code words, we have the ability to launch nuclear missiles if we want to. We have those launch codes. You, Bush, will either start the war of civilizations in conventional form by talking about bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and Afghanistan, and invading Afghanistan, or we can launch it in nuclear form anytime we want. We can blow up Baghdad or Damascus or Tehran or any of these places.
I'm trying to give a little backstory on Angel.
Well, Angel is the code word for Air Force One, and this is a threat. It was very prominent in the first days. It's generally forgotten. Most folks don't talk about it. And again, I regard it as crucial because this is the moment when the invisible government speaks. It's the principal political evidence of the day who did it. And this is all happening in the Goldfish Bowl. The Mossad, the French services, as well as the Russians, all saw this. They were all aware of what had happened. And it was a great brouhaha about this in the first couple of days. The other idea is that you're in the middle of 15-plus drills, the greatest density of military and terror drills in the history of the United States on that day. There are four or five drills that are designed to suppress air defense. They take fighter planes away from the Washington to New York corridor, send them to northern Canada, Alaska, Iceland, or indeed the Iraq no-fly zone.
And then there's also four hijacking drills going on and a tripod 2 drill going on where they already pulled the command center out of Building 7 out of the end of the pier.
What they're doing is inserting fake radar blips on the screens, having planes flying around saying, I am hijacked. So we get up to 29 total aircraft reported hijacked on that day. 90 Air Force Base is down to one-third of their strength. Now, a loyal officer, whoever he was, would put two fighters over Washington if he had two and let the attackers come to them. The question there being the decapitation of the National Command Authority. But now let's get to Global Guardian. The thing that people have to see is on the morning of 9/11, before any planes were hijacked, the U.S. was in a full thermonuclear alert posture. B-1s and B-52s flying around loaded with hydrogen bombs, land-based missiles ready to go, submarines in launch position. General Ivashov of the Russian forces that I met and talked to was watching this from Moscow, and he said, first we saw an all-out military mobilization, a Cuban Missile Crisis-style deployment of all the thermonuclear weapons, and then we saw the planes getting hijacked. The goal of this, obviously, is that in the middle of the day, there's the Bush-Putin phone call, where Bush delivers an ultimatum to Russia, saying, guess what, we're taking Afghanistan, we're taking Central Asia, we're taking Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, the five Central Asian republics. What if Putin, instead of being the very intelligent figure that he is, had said, the head you are, we'll blow your head off. You then would have had thermonuclear escalation. This is one of the reasons I put a mushroom cloud
Webster, I'll just add that particular general, who you've been publicly giving speeches, he's on record saying it's clearly an inside job. And we know, this is a Newsweek magazine, that 2 days before 9/11, Bush had a full launch order to attack Afghanistan on his desk, and that the troops had already massed the months before, 44,000 U.S. troops, 18,000 British troops in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, two carrier groups all lined up, bombers lined up, everything ready. But they never heard of a plan to fly planes into a building. Professor Fetzer, then we're going to have a closing comments from all of you, and then we'll open it up for some questions.
Well, it's very difficult to go beyond what's already been covered. Let me offer an illustration of the media complicity here from a not surprising source, namely Fox News. Thursday night, I was invited on to Hannity Combs ostensibly to discuss the results of investigations conducted by scholars for 9/11 Truth. When I got on the show, however, I discovered that instead of wanting to address the rather crucial results, such as we have been discussing here, including that we had established that the Twin Towers were brought down by controlled demolition, which I said, including that we had Norman Mineta's testimony that Dick Cheney had given a stand-down order not to shoot the plane approaching the Pentagon, which we had, including that the FBI in recent weeks had affirmed it has no hard evidence connecting Osama bin Laden to 9/11, which I said they were more interested in whether I had discussed any of these questions with my students than whether what I was telling them was true.
They were calling them children. I thought you were 27 years old and not a child.
I tell you, this is a perfect illustration. We must work to get the word out. We must reconstitute the Congress. We must reaffirm our existence as a free and democratic republic. The one great fear, the greatest fear we all share, that as the news tightens, as the truth emerges, as more and more people turn on this administration for the tyrants and liars and thieves that they are, that the threat of impeachment, trial, punishment, and incarceration is going to lead them to effect another fake terrorist attack, suspend the Constitution, and turn the American military on the American people. This, I am sorry to say, my friends, is what America, the crisis we face today. And do not look away.
And those preparations have been made. I mean, even former Supreme Court justices have gone on record saying dictatorships being set up. Bob Woodward, a few months ago in San Antonio, gave a speech in San Antonio Express News saying we're going into a dictatorship, we're in great danger. I mean, serious mainstream people are saying, they're openly saying, we want to get rid of Posse Comitatus, we have to put troops on the street, we have to search you. The borders are going to stay wide open. Don't worry. We've got to now have closing comments, but Dr. Bob Woodward, you were going to say one thing quickly before we did that?
Yes, I'm working with people high up in the U.S. military to get them to remember the Nuremberg principles that we in the military not only have the right but the duty to refuse an illegal order. And if the civilian authority comes down to them to nuke Iran, they should not only refuse that order but arrest whoever gave it as a warning.
Yeah. And say, well, this is crazy, this is wrong, this is a fraud. So there are more and more people at high levels in government and out of government that are speaking out. And that's good because this is a time for courage. And I want to thank all of you who've been here with your incredible courage. Before we line up to take questions after this final statement, we're going to talk to Dylan Avery and Jason Mermis. We're also going to let Barry Zucker have a quick comment, and also Jimmy Walter, who's here, been part of the presentations here in the last day. But quickly, as you're looking, we're running low on time. We've got exactly 20 minutes left here. C-SPAN has expanded a little bit, but a closing comment from each of you, please.
Well, we've heard several nudges to study 9/11. I hope those who are watching this on C-SPAN will say that perhaps this is your time to get on the internet or get a DVD. That friend of yours who's trying to talk to you about 9/11, get some more information. Find out for yourself. The information is there. Quick story. professor, young, bright physics professor at my university, stopped me in the hall just the other day. He said, I know you've got this sample. What have you found in it? And I said, well, it's mostly iron. He said, oh, it's not aluminum from the plane. Okay, now what else did you find in there? So there is some aluminum because of the nature of it, but not much. I said, well, we also found in there not much chromium at all. I said, oh, well, then it's not the structural steel, not just the structural steel this one. I said, you're right there. What else did you find in there? We found sulfur. And this stumped him. Well, what's the sulfur for? So I explained real quickly, sulfur makes the thermite cut more rapidly through structural steel. And he said, oh, of course, that would just make a eutectic. It's going to cut right through that steel. Very bright young physicist. And then he said, it's exciting that your research is coming together and his answers are... And then he stopped and he said, on the other hand, it's very sad for our country. And it is. But we're not done. We still have a constitution. We still have remedies. And we can keep that. We can work together.
And we're fighting for this country.
First, a scary thought for you. Can you imagine what would have happened if George W. Bush had been president during the Cuban Missile Crisis? And then finally, I really like, because there's much more than we can say today, go to Bowman2006.com, my campaign website, Bowman2006.com, and take a look and read all the stuff there. And I'll tell you, if just you people, I know you pay a lot of money to come to this conference, and it's worth it. If you write a check for $100 and send it to Bowman for Congress, I'm going to be a shoo-in, and I'll represent you, and I'll get the truth out. Thank you. Thank you.
I would try to sum up by saying we've got two intersecting processes. On one side, the dams are breaking, the worm is turning, the myth is collapsing, people are throwing off this reign of terror, this brainwashing that was done around these events. On the other side, everything is now in place for the attack on Iran. It's likely to be a nuclear attack. And they're waiting only for the outside event. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt told us the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The Bush administration says, in effect, be afraid all the time. This has to be rejected. There are, however, 35 to 40% of the population of this country who support Bush based on the fact that they're scared out of their wits. And they're beyond reason on most issues. They believe that the attacks came from bin Laden in the cave. We have to show them the attacks were war provocations cynically planned inside U.S. government offices from the bowels of the CIA, the National Security Agency, and the Pentagon and the rest of the intelligence community.
Thank you so much. Kim Kessler, this man poses as the security president, but he doesn't act like it. He has defunded now New York City and Washington, D.C. to the tune of at least 40% of what they should have to guard against terrorist acts. He's brought in the Dubai Ports Authority to control our ports, which is absurd if what he's been telling us the last 5 years is true. And now he is creating a network of highways from Mexico to Canada, which I've only just discovered, that are going to completely transform the character of the United States of America, and I've yet to hear a word of public discussion or debate about it. National security has three foundations. One is economic security. This man has bankrupted the nation. We're up to $9 trillion in debt and growing. The second is military strength. The war in Iraq is sapping our military. General after general says the National Guard is all but broken. The military cannot sustain it. And the third is our moral standing. He has taken this nation from the most admired and respected to the most reviled and despised. That was our greatest source of security in our past. He has turned Iraq into a huge terrorist state. I say to you, the claim that George Bush is the security president is nothing but a cruel joke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
learn more about 9/11 and other false flag terror events, visit InfoWars.com or ChrisLabana.com or JonesReport.com. And I again want to thank all the presenters that have been here. The presenters are coming up later today. And all of you for coming out. Thank you so much. The second we're going to get briefly is from Dylan Avery and Jason Mermis. These are two of the gentlemen that made Loose Change 1 and 2. Of course, Loose Change 2 is across the country. Jason, go ahead.
I'm going to make this as brief as possible. Good afternoon. My name is Jason Mermis. I'm lucky enough to be part of the Loud Words production team. Basically, before we present evidence from the final cut, I'd just like to go over the movement for a moment. Previously, we've all been told we're crazy, we're nuts, they would never do something like this. Then we began to hear that's interesting, or they knew. Shortly after that, we began to hear, yeah, they get it, but I'm only one person. I ask all of you, do we look like one person? Now the mainstream media is being forced to cover this movement due in large part to our tenacity and ingenuity in spreading the truth through emails, flyers, films, and strategic conferences like this one. So where do we go from here? In my eyes, there is nowhere else to be other than Ground Zero on September 11, 2006, on Monday morning. We will not be there to scream the truth. Instead, we will be there to honor the memories of the fallen with both respect and solidarity. We will be wearing shirts that say Investigate 9/11. We will have signs that say we need a new investigation, 9/11 truth now, and ask questions, demand answers. We will be there to inform the firemen, the police, the family members, and the citizens that are agreeing to this information by giving away tens of thousands of our DVDs. We will be addressing everybody as sir and ma'am, as to be as polite as possible. This is the fifth anniversary of the lie that bases all of our foreign and domestic policy since then. We can no longer let this stand. Every major media outlet in the world is going to be in attendance, so if they want a live shot, they will have to cover us. I'm encouraging everybody to bring a camcorder to this event in case the government decides to provocateur it. If someone gets out of line and becomes disruptive, we need to turn cameras on them and say, stop it, you do not represent us. We will not allow them to squelch the truth this way. I'm doing this because I love my country, I love my family, and I love my friends. And anyone who gets this information, you can go to cnewschange.com right now and watch it for free. Now I'd like to introduce a man who has literally changed the minds of millions, my friend Dylan Avery.
Have with me
Hold on,
Bob Bowman. Yeah, okay, so that was the panel that got covered by C-SPAN. Apparently it's gonna get played today. Like I heard Wednesday at I was in the wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, now I've done it. Anyway, so yeah, that was the panel that's gonna get played on C-SPAN. So, and then I foolishly pushed stop when I should have pushed a different button. Let me see if I can find it without too much drama. I don't think I can.
Please.
Sum up your...
Okay, there we go. So yeah, and then I've got I got some more stuff. I got a few more interviews that I pulled together here, and I'll be bringing it up as soon as my computer lets me. It's thinking there. Let me just bring that. Okay, let's try this. Yeah. So yeah, coming up next is the interview I did with Bob Bowman, and the thing about this interview is these dogs. The thing about this is that my recording device died at the end. I lost recording of it. I lost my memory, so I couldn't do any more recording. So the website for Bob Bowman is Bowman 2006, Bowman2006.com. So... So I think we're going to go ahead and start this interview up right here.
Because I love my country, I love my family, and I love my friends. And anyone who doubts this information can go to cnewschange.com right now and watch it for free. Now I'd like to introduce a man who has literally changed the minds of millions, my friend Dylan Avery.
I have with me Dr. Bob Bowman.
Hi.
You're running for Congress?
I'm running for the U.S. Congress from the 15th District of Florida.
And can you sum up your platform briefly?
I'm part of a whole bunch of first-time challengers. We're running on the U.S. Constitution, on truth, and on serving the American people. And those things result in various positions on issues. For example, jobs, every job ought to have a living wage. On medical care, we ought to have a single-payer national health system. On 9/11, there ought to be a truly independent commission that gets at the truth. And on Iraq, we ought to support our troops by bringing them home while they're still alive.
Sounds good. I have a question. One of my pet little issues is monetary reform, and I'm kind of interested in where you stand on the Federal Reserve.
Well, I agree that there are things there that really need fixing, and the Federal Reserve appears to have too much control and is part of a system that is depressing wages and the standard of living for the American people. Workers today make about a third of what they made in the 1950s. If worker pay in this country had kept up with CEO pay, the average worker today would be making over $1 million a year, and the minimum wage would be $171 an hour.
Wow. Yeah. What would be some of the first things you would do legislatively or otherwise when you get in, if you get elected?
Well, the first thing that I intend to do, and I've already lined up co-sponsors, is to initiate a truly independent investigation of 9/11 and bring impeachment against Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, the whole oil mafia. And this doesn't have to wait for the results of 9/11 because there are a lot of other things. We know that they have committed impeachable offenses just in getting us into the Iraq war on false pretenses.
But it would probably be a lot more powerful if it was under 9/11 as well, the crimes of 9/11 as well, I would think.
Well, 9/11, what that's going to do, if we really get to the truth and find out that there were elements of the U.S. government involved, they need not only to be removed from office, but they need to be indicted for treason.
Do you have a website, and how can people support your campaign?
The website is
It's a Bowman 2006.com.
Tell us your name.
My name is Kathleen Ferrick Rosenblatt, and I'm a co-founder of the 9/11 Truth LA.us organization here in Los Angeles. And we've been working together for about 3 years now, and we have convened and elected a citizens grand jury on two occasions, 2004, 2005, and we are planning another high-profile citizens grand jury for September 10th. That weekend. And now, of course, we've learned that we shouldn't use the word citizens because it turns out that it's individuals, it's persons that have inalienable rights. Citizens only have civil rights, which is granted by the government, whereas the inalienable rights that we're born with are given to persons, sovereigns, to people. So we have to say the word people's grand jury. I just haven't gotten used to using that term yet.
And what do you hope to accomplish with the grand jury?
Well, we are trying to prove and show that the omissions and distortions of the official commission were simply criminal and absolutely false and, you know, derivative. And we want to really show that from our research we've discovered that grand juries were part, you know, absolutely framed in the Constitution as the fourth branch of government representing the people. But that in 1946, a small little insignificant ruling occurred that said we can't have independent grand juries and we can't have these presentments, because presentments were the independent grievances, petitions, and now we can't have those anymore. They're obsolete. That meant that now all grand juries would be dependent on a prosecutor, on an attorney, and things could be thrown out. They might not even reach the judge. It was totally dependent on the government. And that an independent grand jury would now had this derogatory term called runaway grand juries. And whereas, according to this wonderful article in the Creighton Law Review called If It's Not Runaway, It's Not a Real Grand Jury, that was written by this attorney, Roger Roots, now we've discovered that this is how it was intentionally arranged, that the framers of our Constitution understood that governments have a tendency to become corrupt, and that you needed something to represent the people, and that this is what we've given away in this century. So now we'd like to bring it back. We have an attorney, Umberto Guizar, who just lost the whistleblowing case that went to the Supreme Court that was going to protect whistleblowers. And so he lost the case, but that shows the level that he's on. And he's absolutely determined to take this case of 9/11 and reinstating the power of real grand juries as far as the Supreme Court, if need be.
Wow. So when is this going to be convening?
We're planning to convene it on September, I think it's actually the 10th.
Mm-hmm. Of this year?
Yes, because that's a Saturday before. The 11th is on Monday.
And that's in Los Angeles?
Yes, and we'd like to link it up with other cities. So between now and then, we'd really like to enlist other cities to do the same thing.
And you'll be going through the state judiciary or the state legal process?
Well, we're going to, you know, create this grand jury, and then this can be, we can be present this to state judiciaries, to Elliot Spitzer in New York State in particular, but also because a lot of the passengers on that flight were coming to Los Angeles and we're from here, we feel that we have certain jurisdiction also to, you know, to appeal this.
Wow. And maybe you give us your website for more information.
It's 911truthla.us.
Okay.
And my partner, Lynn Penns, my associate, is going to be joining a group called We the People and going across the country to enlist and enroll people. So this is going to be working up to and of course, we'd also like to do an international tribunal, and there's a lot of interest there. We were filmed by Italian filmmakers when we were at the Chicago conference last month, or at the beginning of this month, and they want to do a large event in Rome, either in late October or early November. So there is an international swell of interest in this thing that we don't hear about in our country, of course.
What's the goal? I mean, what's your intention?
Well, not only to try to, you know, I always feel that no matter how legal we try to be, we're still betting against the House. The House controls everything. So no matter how legal, how perfectly we follow all the rules, that doesn't mean we're not going to be trumped. I'm not a Pollyanna. But just going through the motions even allows this to take on some PRs. And so everything we do, as legal as we want it to be, they find, you know, the maybe the best thing that ever comes from it is that people hear about it. And that's what we really want to aim. And I've, in Los Angeles, since we're kind of a nerve center for the country and for the planet, we keep trying to enlist celebrities. You know, you look at Charlie Sheen, what he accomplished in 1.5 hour compared to 5 years of everyone else's tireless efforts. So we really need to get some people on board. And there are many that are interested, but they're either a little bit afraid to really get too public, or they're off doing their thing. They're working, you know, and they can't be here for this event or that event. But we do have a group that's finally kind of starting to gel.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay.
Of the conference we've been having the last day, round of the second day, 9/11, the neocon agenda. Thanks.
Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and take a break from that. That was Ms. Rosenblatt of 911truthla.us, and that was a pretty interesting little collection of stuff. So anyway, that was pretty much what I did there. Let me see
what's going on. It'll tell us what happened.
Anyway, there's a lot more out there, a lot more information out there if you want to. I'm not going to go into it all right now. I'm just getting kind of... Okay. And you know, I had had this one woman. I'll just tell a story. I'm not choosing to play it because I just think it's... but I like... And I like, she's like, oh, I want to talk into your microphone. So I was like, okay. She's like, the Jews did it. And I just was like, well, you know, that's like, I said something like, that's like taking a cherry out of a pie and saying that the pie, that's all you want of the pie. Or that's, I don't know, I was trying to, and anyway, I was disappointed by her now, since she was like trying to say how like she got disillusioned by David Duke. Because David Duke was saying how David Duke was saying how the Arabs did it because of the Zionists. You know, they're getting back at the Zionists, and I was just like, well, if David Duke is who you're listening to, then that's might be the start of some of your problem right there. Anywho, but I did want to also play this thing right here that these guys were giving away. Giving away some discs, and it was really good. So this is a song called 10 Second Free Fall by Three Shoes Posse.
We know the official story is impossible, so we set about scientifically to come up with a hypothesis and then to test that.
All right, we're just searching for the truth, because so far we've been truthless. To be ruthless.
I do.
It was a 10-second free fall. That's what I saw. That's what you saw. That's what everybody saw. 10-second free fall. Official story don't make a lick of sense at all. It was a 10-second free fall.
Clearly, the buildings are brought down by controlled demolition.
It was controlled demolition. Concrete into fine dust. That's a hell of a transition. From controlled demolition, they believe in fairy tales at the 911 commission, but not controlled demolition.
Well, I would just ignore that idiot.
As if the ashes concrete to dust, twin tower fall down in front of us. The beam, then the hangs in the building, you see. Twin tower should have stand up and not take it easily. Man, Mrs. Julian, no man, him in Hawaii. Hide the beam, them destroy them quickly. Building seven, man, them done destroy. Destroy the paper, them a lot quickly.
I ain't no rocket scientist,
I am.
But I got two good eyes and I can see right through your tricks. I ain't no rocket scientist. You can't change the laws of nature. You can't change the laws of physics. I don't need to be a rocket scientist.
Professor Stephen Jones, he has a doctorate in physics, and he has now gotten samples. They've taken the samples. They've done scientific tests on them. Professor Jones just doesn't find evidence of thermite. They find the byproducts of thermate, patented for specific use in cutting steel columns. The hair on the back of my neck standing up.
10-second free fall. That's what everybody saw. 10-second free fall. Feels like my best friend just sucker punched me outside my jaw with a 10-second free fall.
The groundbreaking test. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I was rather surprised when we did the analysis was the amount of sulfur. And sulfur added to thermite, it's called thermate, and that is used specifically to cut through steel. I mean, when you put sulfur in thermite, whammo, that's like a hot knife through butter.
Controlled demolition, fool most of the world with a
few well-placed munitions.
Police saying bombs
Controlled
are going
demolition,
off.
All because one world government wants to come to its fruition. They did controlled demolition.
6.5 seconds, collapse the building 7.
Search on building 7. And it might turn out that it's your own neck that you are saving. Do a search on building 7. It might turn out that it's your republic that you're saving. Do a search on building 7.
We looked at the free fall compared to the fall of building 7, and they're almost the same. When I saw the collapse of Building 7, man, I said to myself, that is strange. I'd never seen it before. You know, collapse that late afternoon. It was never hit by a jet, but here it comes straight down. I don't see any raging inferno in this building, but I do see it fall straight down.
Man, they give me say when me see NBC, ABC, and CBS. Lord, them I tell a whole heap of lies to me. Them not tell the truth. Man, them crazy. Who want an investigation about it? Lord, them blow it up in front of me. Ashes to ashes, concrete to dust. Twin tower fall down in front of us.
A real investigation.
Pools of molten metal.
That's what we need, so we can take back our nation. Real investigation. I saw a 10-second free fall, so I want you all to call out for a real investigation.
If you've ever had a wood-burning stove, but you've never had that puppy melt on you, I dare say.
That's what everybody saw. 10-second free fall. Official story don't make a lick of sense at all. It was a 10-second free fall.
The implications stop many people from going past square one. I mean, they said, well, wait a minute, you know, are we talking about an inside job here? And I'm saying, well, I'm talking about physics. And they say, but that would imply an inside job. I say, I'm afraid so. You know, explosives in a building, it takes time to plan and plant those explosives and incendiaries. I'm afraid that the truth is out. The fact, you know, to suggest that Arabs had access in these buildings, particularly Building 7, which housed the secret CIA office, is ridiculous in the extreme.
9/11 is an inside job. You know, how they claim they fell was a lie, and the official story is completely unscientific and a fraud and a lie. If Silverstein slipping up and saying he pulled it, everybody was there.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I mean, I know. This is a very secure building. There's security. Who was it in charge of security at the towers? I mean, he would be offended to have the suggestion. Wasn't that a
Marvin Bush, yes.
Oh, yes, Marvin Bush. I mean, he would be offended to hear that somehow these guys have slipped by them.
Did they think that we wouldn't notice or we wouldn't catch him? Why do you think they thought they'd get away with it?
You know, they made mistakes, I think, is the explanation.
They allowed some of the steel to be released, to be erected, and everything that we would go test it.
I mean, there's enough evidence around that we can piece together. It's archaeology or archaeometry. We can actually piece together fairly clearly now what's happened. This scientific research is more than just an academic exercise.
It's about saving this country.
10 seconds.
That was Three Shoes Posse with 10-second free fall. And they gave those discs away out there at the 9/11 Truth Conference that happened this weekend, last weekend over there at the Los Angeles Sheraton. And it was a great time. I just wish my recording trip and my technical stuff was a little bit more together so that I could bring more media to you, reporting of this to you. But I had some interviews lined up at the event that I'm just going to have to do over the phone next week. Is it next week? Yeah, it's next week. I'm going to be interviewing Barry Zwicker, and we're going to be talking about the left gatekeepers in regards to 9/11 and more about this. And then the following week, I'm going to have G. Edward Griffin, and we're going to be discussing the Federal Reserve and the difference between individualists and collectivists, and that should be really good. So keep your iPod locked right here. Okay, so,
thanks for being here with me, and thanks for listening. I apologize again for the quality, but you know, we're on a shoestring over here. So we're all doing what we can to stop this New World Order. So y'all have a beautiful day. See ya.